You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The coronavirus has changed almost every part of life in the United States and across the globe. And here in Idaho, how we vote has changed, at least this spring. Tomorrow's state primary election, where all 105 legislative seats are up for grabs, was supposed to be conducted primarily in person. However, the spread of COVID-19 and the threat of transmission at voting booths prompted the Secretary of State's office to switch to a mail-in primary. Now, county clerk's offices, they have been scrambling to make that change and to get the word out to voters. Boise State University political scientist Jacqueline Kettler and Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson are joining us live, remotely, of course, to tell us what we need to know about this election. Hey, good to have both of you with us today.
Hey,
Thanks,
Gemma.
For having me.
James, I'd like to start with you. So before we actually dig into what's at stake with this election, will you tell us just about the logistics? I mean, so because some listeners can still request their ballots today, right? But they have to register to vote online if they haven't already?
Yeah, that's right. And you can register to vote as well through the county clerk's office if you go to their physical offices in a lot of locations and, you know, just give them a call. They'll come out with the required forms that you need to submit to them. But the important date is obviously tomorrow, and that's basically the request your ballot date. And it has to be in the hands of your county clerk by 8 p.m. tomorrow night. So don't think that if you have that form sitting around your house that you can just mail it and the postmark will be before that time. That's not going to count. So you're going to have to go drop that off at your county clerk's office.
So then how long do they have to actually return the ballot then?
Right. So, and that's why, you know, tomorrow really, I don't think of it as election day. Election day is going to be June 2nd. By 8 p.m. So if you do have your ballot, you have, you know, really another few weeks to get that back to your county clerk's office. Again, June 2nd at 8 p.m. And that postmark doesn't matter then either. So you have to have it in the hands of your county clerk's office by that time.
Jacqueline, this is the first vote by mail election that we've had in Idaho, correct? I mean, where it's all vote by mail.
Correct. Yes. A portion of the population always has voted absentee ballot in the last few elections, at least. But for, this is the first one where everyone will be voting through absentee ballot.
So, Jacqueline, I'm curious because there are other states like Oregon, for example, that they are strictly mail-in voting. That's how they do it in that state. Is it similar to what Jimmy just said, where it's like, does it almost matter like when election day is? I mean, even in other states that do this strictly by mail, do you have a certain amount of time to get your ballot in?
Yeah, but one thing that some of these states like Oregon and Washington do a little differently is they have like ballot drop-off boxes. So you can like on election day go drop it off still, but it is different than what we're used to, just going to the precinct and voting. You kind of have to plan ahead a little bit more to make sure that your ballot will be counted correctly.
I'm curious, Jacqueline, during a typical election then, how much of our state usually votes by mail?
Oh, I think, I'm sorry. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I think it's probably like a quarter or something, right. If that much.
It's because it is, it has to be like an absentee ballot. You have to ask for it. And it, you know, and it's for people that maybe are, you know, out of the state at the time of election day.
Correct. One thing though, Idaho has no excuse absentee ballot, which is different than some states where you actually have to provide a particular type of excuse to even get approved to be able to vote through absentee ballot. So Idaho at least was set up a little better than some of those states.
We're talking with Boise State political scientist Jacqueline Kettler and our political reporter James Dawson about the primary election, which begins tomorrow, if you can believe in the middle of all of this, we have an election. So, James, what are some state races that you're watching and why those races in particular?
Yeah, to be honest, I think most of the action really is out in eastern Idaho. You've got Senate Pro Tem Brent Hill, Senate Education Chairman Dean Mortimer. They're both retiring. There's some other shuffling happening here where Representative Doug Ricks is trying to take Hill's seat. And then you have former Representative Ron Nate trying to unseat Representative Britt Raybould. You know, Ricks beat Nate in a primary 2 years ago. He's been itching to get back in the legislature, and same with some of his backers. He's part of the more far right, I guess, contingent that was in the legislature and still is to some extent. And then on top of that, you have several more moderate Republicans trying to unseat some of the more right-wing faction of the party. You've got Representatives Chad Christensen, Brian Zollinger fielding challenges, and other right-wing candidates trying to unseat other moderates that are out there. So I just reported today, Libertarian PAC called Make Liberty Win. They've pumped nearly $100,000 into these races, which is a pretty substantial amount, you know, for any kind of state legislative primary here in Idaho. They've spent that before the end of April. They could spend more up until June as well. And they're siding with the more conservative candidates. And the whole outcome of this is that it could really reshape the face of the Senate that's historically been the moderating force in the Idaho legislature.
Okay, then Jimmy, what about some statewide races? I mean, in particular, a fairly familiar name back on the ballot, Paulette Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. So Idaho holds most of its statewide races in non-presidential years. So not as many races to pay attention to, but like you mentioned, you can't not watch that Democratic primary for U.S. Senate with Paulette Jordan and Jim Vandermas. You know, it's been a couple years since Jordan lost to Brad Little in the governor's race. And maybe because of the COVID reality of campaigning, I really haven't heard nearly as much buzz about her this go around as I did 2 years ago. And I think it's really been tough for a whole lot of candidates to break through. Otherwise, you know, you do have both seats in Congress up. You do have, you know, Congressman Russ Fulcher and Mike Simpson, who both have primary challenges in the Republican section of things. But they seem to be you know, it seems like they're going to win pretty handily there.
And then, Jacqueline, I'm curious, what races or issues are you following that really could set a tone come November?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think these ideological divisions within the Republican Party are interesting, right? We've seen it kind of flare up here recently about COVID-19 responses. And so I think some of those races will be interesting to watch and see what happens, especially since this is a slightly different election where people will be voting at home. So it's a little less certain what they will be thinking about when they actually complete the ballot.
And then, Jimmy, going from primarily in-person voting to all mail-in, it's had some logistical issues, we can say. I mean, for example, in Ada County, there was a snafu where unaffiliated voters actually got the wrong ballot. Have we seen any other issues in other parts of the state?
Yeah, as far as I can tell, we really haven't. And that Ada County issue was about 7,000 ballots between a couple different, you know, I guess, problems there that have apparently all been fixed. The only other hurdle that I saw was some of the very early ballot request forms that were mailed out didn't have return postage on them. So the Secretary of State's office partnered with grocery stores around the state where people could get a free stamp to mail it back.
And so, Jacqueline, I'm curious, when it comes to turnout, do you think that we might see more people participating because of it being a mail-in ballot, or could it go completely the opposite and not as many people because this is a new format for so many people?
It's a great question, and I'm excited to see what happens as well. We've actually had really high numbers of people requesting primary ballots, over 116,000 in Ada County, which is, if 80 or 90% of those requested ballots are actually returned, will make turnout very, very high for a primary election. So I think that's it's possible we'll have very high turnout, but people actually have to return those ballots.
Right. That's the part of it that you have to do, right? It can't just sit on your kitchen table.
You know,
Jimmy, I'm curious too about, you know, candidates themselves. I mean, normally you're getting flyers, you're getting knocks on your door. I mean, they're doing, you know, town halls, they're bringing people together. None of that is happening. Are candidates adapting to this new normal?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's just completely different from any kind of other election that we have seen. Honestly, it seems like it's fairly quiet, maybe because I live in Ada County. 2 years ago, I'd say candidates were starting to use, you know, Facebook Live, other social media tools. But those are even more crucial now. The problem that you have here, I think, is a demographics one, because young people who are more likely to be on these social media platforms aren't your typical primary voters. So older folks who, they might have a Facebook account, but maybe not a Twitter account, right? Where candidates might go to drum up some buzz. And I think this year it's going to come down even more heavily on name recognition than these primaries already do, just because it's so hard for new people to break through when you can't shake their hand at the Rotary Club meeting or at a grocery store or something like that, right?
I completely agree. I think name recognition is really going to matter in this election.
Right. It's going to be so interesting to see how all of this works out, because this is the primary. Then we have the general election come November. Do you both think that we're going to see mail-in ballots come November?
I think that this is why this election is particularly important, for kind of a trial run in case we need to do so, because we don't really know when a second round might hit. So I think using this as an opportunity to plan for higher participation in the fall, if necessary, it's kind of a good approach.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, too, just how much pressure there is nationally from President Donald Trump, right? He's already kind of thrown out there that he's not really a fan of mail-in ballots because of the potential of voter fraud, even though he voted by mail in Florida in his election. So it'll just be interesting to see whether or not that pressure comes to bear in Idaho, and whether or not, you know, we had this successful election or not will play a role for sure.
Do either of you think that if this goes well, that there will be a push to just make this, you know, going forward, we just do mail-in ballots like Oregon, like Washington?
Well, one thing we know is that voters in those states really like it. They like being able to vote at home, to do research while they complete the ballot. They feel less pressure. It's very popular. So I think that there is a possibility that people will have experience with it and quite like the process.
Yeah, definitely. And especially, I mean, you have people who already are familiar with the absentee ballot process now. And maybe further down the road, they, like Jacqueline said, they'll be like, oh, yeah, why weren't we doing this forever ago? I mean, Idaho was one of the first states back in the 70s, I believe, to have no excuse absentee ballot voting and same day registration, which is different from a lot of more Republican leaning states. And so maybe they'll be one of the first Republican states to actually go for mail-in ballot voting, too.
And we're running out of time, but Jimmy, just in case people are joining us right now, can you quickly tell us again about how the ballot works, in the sense of when they need to get it into their city clerk, their county
clerk? Of course. So tomorrow, May 19th, have your ballot request form into your county clerk's office by 8 p.m. Has to be in their hands, can't throw it in the mail. And then you need to return your actual ballot by June 2nd, 8 p.m.
All right. Thank you both so much. We've been talking with Jacqueline Kettler. She is a Boise State political scientist, and our political reporter, James Dawson. Thanks, both of you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
This is Idaho Matters.